Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I've still got a little coffee in my cup, so instead of walking down the hall refilling coffee and more during the break, I was actually able to take a little bit more time queuing up a couple more highlights from Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State address last night. We already started rolling into it in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Here in the 7 o'clock hour, we got a great guest joining us in just a few minutes. And then starting around 7:30 or so, we'll have open phones time. If you got something you want to talk about, and I got a bunch of other updates I can get to as well. First, though, before we get to our next news and weather break here, to get your local news, you just got the national news. We'll get to the local stuff here shortly. Governor Greg Gianforte. This was less than a minute into his State of the State address last night. And by the way, you're going to hear our friend David Noble in this clip as well, because instead of just taking the audio of the governor's State of the State address, I thought, hey, why not include David's Twitch TV commentary, because he was live streaming the Montana PBS feed last night and giving his own color commentary throughout the governor's speech. So you're going to hear a fun interjection here by David Noble as well.
As we gather in this chamber, we're reminded that America lives in Montana, in our vast landscapes, our thriving communities, and most importantly, in the hearts of our people. Over the last 4 years, we've made great strides together, but our work is far from over. And I'm filled with optimism, not only for our state, but for our nation. In just 1 week, President Donald J. Trump will return to the White House after...
Applause line is about Trump. The very first applause line is about Trump.
Victory in November.
No other applauses except
last
for Trump.
Thursday, I had the great honor of having dinner with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And I can tell you, he is ready to get to work. And I'm eager to work with President Trump and members of his cabinet, many of whom I've worked alongside in Congress and as your governor, to make America affordable, safe, prosperous, and great again.
All right, there you go. I did see Attorney General Austin Knutson also issued a statement after the governor's State of the State address. He says, quote, "I am grateful to Governor Gianforte for joining me in prioritizing public safety, specifically a salary increase for Montana Highway Patrol troopers this legislative session. Our troopers work tirelessly to keep our communities safe. We must make sure they can afford to support their families so we can retain the troopers we have and recruit new troopers." He says he also joins the governor in supporting judicial reform, including partisan judicial elections. There's more to his statement, but we got to get to the news and weather break, and then a great guest joining us right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Patchy fog in some areas early today, otherwise looking at sunshine, with high temperature readings from the lower 30s in Bozeman to about 37 in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-teens in Bozeman to about the mid-20s in Billings. And then Wednesday's outlook calls for sunshine with highs in the upper 30s to the lower 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Metallica is using the band's philanthropic foundation, All Within My Hands, to donate $500,000 in relief efforts to communities in California that have been impacted by the deadly wildfires. Beyonce is also chipping in. Her Be Good Charity Foundation is donating $2.5 million to help families rebuild. The Village People have accepted an invitation to perform at President-elect Donald Trump's inaugural events. That's in spite of the group's legal history with the former president, issuing a cease and desist letter to him in 2023 when a cover band played the song Macho Man at Mar-a-Lago. Carrie Underwood is expected to sing a rendition of America the Beautiful shortly before President-elect Trump takes the oath of office. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, we've been talking about a lot going on in the Montana legislature and in the Montana State Senate, but hey, let's flip tracks. Look at the impressive display of unity amongst the Senate Republican majority in the United States Senate. Here's one headline for you, FoxNews.com. Senate GOP tees up confirmation hearing blitz in effort to meet ambitious Trump targets. Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines has been alongside President Donald J. Trump every step of the way. Senator, great to have you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good to join you.
Exciting times in the Republican-led United States Senate. Less than a week to go, President Donald J. Trump.
Well, we had a great meeting with the president last week. He came up to Capitol Hill Wednesday, 6 o'clock p.m. our time. It's supposed to be a 45 to 60-minute meeting. It went nearly 2 hours. Just a great behind closed doors meeting with the president, no press there, very little staff, just Republican U.S. senators having a chance to be around a table with President Trump and J.D. Vance, who, of course, at that time was still Senator J.D. Vance. He resigned his position late last week, and so the governor of Ohio will fill that soon. But look, it was a time of alignment, some great back and forth, but to hear from the president around his priorities. And the number one priority in the short term is to get these nominees through the hearing process to the floor of the U.S. Senate and confirmed.
I loved what I heard. I think it was on Fox and Friends, and they were talking about the SecDef nomination in particular. Okay, hearing today, that could tee up a vote for President Trump's first day in office, because you guys were already sworn in as senators, but President Trump isn't sworn in until Monday. So, but he has to be sworn in before you can hold the actual vote for confirmation. So it sounds like a lot of fast-moving action potentially Marco Rubio for Secretary of State, Doug Burgum for Interior, and much more.
Well, you think about the timeline here. On January 3rd, that is when the new Republican majority was sworn in. That's when Tim Sheehy took his oath of office. And that's 17 days before President Trump takes his oath on January 20th. And so we are running as fast as we can. This is something that the press isn't reporting on a whole lot, what's going on behind the scenes, to get everything teed up. I mean, it's a significant effort to get all of the paperwork and everything ready to go for these hearings, but we're out of the gate today. I mean, Pete Hegseth will be before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Marco Rubio will be in front of the committee I serve on, the Foreign Relations Committee, so I'll be with Marco Rubio today, the President's Secretary of State. Chris Wright, his new Secretary of Energy, he will be in front of the committee, my other committee I'm on, the Energy and Resource Committee, so I'll be in front of both Marco and Chris Wright today. And then we'll have Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury. I'm on the Finance Committee. We'll have that tomorrow. And then Doug Burgum, the new Secretary of Interior, he'll be in front of my committee on Thursday. So I literally will have a chance to be asking questions and supporting Marco Rubio, Chris Wright, Scott Bessent, and Doug Burgum, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Treasury, and Secretary of Interior. And what an all-star lineup just those four nominees are and committees of jurisdiction that I get to serve the people of Montana on.
Well, I was excited to hear Senator Marshall on one of the Sunday shows say that he believes that all of Trump's nominees have the votes to get across the finish line. I'm really excited. I'm actually going to get a chance to be at President Trump's inauguration. Jessica and I will be there for the inauguration on Monday, and then I'll be doing a live show from Capitol Hill on Tuesday, and I think we'll get to see you in person once again.
Well, we'll love having you and Jessica here in Washington. I can't wait for that view that, you know, it's a privilege I get to have as the U.S. Senator from the state of Montana. I'll be on that podium with President Trump, with J.D. Vance, looking out across the National Mall, that view of the west steps of the Capitol. And you remember, presidents were sworn in on the east steps of the Capitol up until President Reagan was inaugurated. He changed the mix and put it on the west steps of the Capitol because, frankly, the view there, when you look out to the Washington Monument, you'll see a million plus Americans waving American flags. It's an incredible backdrop. But President Reagan, with his normal wit and sense of humor, when asked, they said, "Mr. President, why did you shift the inauguration from the east steps of the Capitol to the west steps of the Capitol?" And he said, with a grin and a twinkle in his eye, "Because it's closer to California," of course, his home state. But it's going to be a great day.
And sadly, he wouldn't have that twinkle if he looked at California today and just the demise the Democrats have caused there all across the board. About a minute or so before our next break. Man, I'll tell you what, your fellow Senator Tim Sheehy really shining his first week in office.
Look, we've got Tim Sheehy. He's been all over national media, everything from Fox to CNN, talking about what's going on in California, the wildfires. I mean, if there's ever a subject matter expert in the country in terms of wildland firefighting and aerial firefighting, it's Tim Sheehy. What a moment to step into the Senate in for many reasons. And, of course, Tim is on the SAS, the Senate Armed Services Committee, so he'll have Pete Hegseth in front of him in a matter of hours. But Tim has been able to crystallize what's going on in California, the complete mismanagement of and the lack of stewardship of their lands, which has been one of the reasons you're seeing these catastrophic wildfires, where they start putting the kangaroo rat and these certain gnats habitat as higher priority than protecting life and property, the insanity of how they have mismanaged their water resources.
That's right.
Woke government. I'll tell you what, the chickens came home to roost. It's very, very
and tragic. You've been calling it out for years, and now you've got additional air support with a fellow Republican senator like Tim Sheehy. Hold that thought. Stand by if you can. We got to get to the Farm and Ranch Report and more.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one, at least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. President-elect Donald Trump is set to retake office next week, and this comes to the delight of Second Amendment advocates around the country. The returning president is rated highly by gun advocates. And as pointed out, he does so as the first ever person convicted of a felony. And while he is not being sentenced to prison or to community service or probation or is even being fined, there is one aspect of this conviction that creates a very strange scenario. He cannot own a firearm. The president's conviction comes in a New York state court, and that means he cannot pardon himself. And unless an appeals court overturns his conviction, the restriction will stand because the federal law banning firearms ownership by felons includes state-level felonies, even non-violent felonies, such as the business records charges at the heart of the New York prosecution. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Well,
this is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Farm groups say delaying a farm bill any further will be detrimental to U.S. agriculture and national security. Cam Quarles, CEO of the National Potato Council, says Congress needs to pass a farm bill in 2025 and not continue to delay it for several years like Congress did with the transportation bill.
The math challenges associated with creating new transportation policy were so daunting that what Congress ended up doing was what they are extremely good at is procrastinating and just kind of kicking the can down the road and never quite coming up with the funds or the political courage or the combination of the two to rewrite that fundamental policy. And so what you had was, you know, people driving down the highway that couldn't figure out why there are potholes all over the place, or we had, you know, airports that are not up to standard and all those other things. That was a result of delaying that legislative priority.
That's why Quarles said it's essential to pass a farm bill this year.
To be sitting here, we're now in 2025. If we're sitting here 10 years from now in 2035, fighting increasingly competitive global battles with the tools of 2018, that will be a very bad place for American agriculture to be. And we can't allow that to happen.
The National Potato Council is optimistic Congress can get the job done. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, this is great. Senator Steve Daines able to join us for just a quick few minutes more here on this Tuesday program. We will be broadcasting live from Capitol Hill 1 week from today after President Trump is sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Senator, we were talking about the first full week of the United States Senate up and running with Republican Senate control. Now, the Lake and Riley Act, and before that, there was Kate's Law. The Democrats would always oppose it. The media would downplay it, or they would straight up lie in their reporting about it. Last year, John Tester voted against, the Democrat senator last year voted against the Lake and Riley Act. Then he flip-flopped, claimed that he was supporting the Lake and Riley Act, but it never went anywhere. And yet the Montana media covered for the guy the entire time. And yet, boom, here we go. The first full week of Republican Senate control, and you start moving on the Lake and Riley Act. And finally, some Democrats join you.
Well, there's that old saying about what a quote, moderate Democrat is. It's a senator on the floor that will vote for you when you don't need them. And that was what Schumer was doing. He'd take some of his endangered Democrats and let them have a free vote, but make sure that we never could get to the 60-vote threshold to actually get an outcome. And that's the political game that was going on. And tragic when you use Lake and Riley Act, which is a horrible, horrible situation of Lake and this beautiful young woman who was murdered by an illegal criminal immigrant here who's in our country. But the good news is we got the first step of that process with 80 votes last week in the United States Senate to get that to where we're at this week, which is a real good chance to pass the Lake and Riley Act. This should not be a difficult act to pass. It simply says that ICE will have the authority to detain illegal aliens who have committed theft-related crimes. That would have saved Lake and Riley's Act. And by the way, her birthday, her 23rd birthday, would have been last Friday. We passed this bill in terms of this next step in the process the day before. So that was something we could do for her family. But we've got the votes in the Senate. The American people overwhelmingly support it. Maybe the Democrats heard this loud explosion in November of an election, this mandate that we've got to deal with the chaos created by Joe Biden and the Democrats on the southern border.
There's still a lot of damage that Joe Biden can do with 6 days to go. One of the recent destructive decisions his regime made was to not take the grizzlies off the endangered species list. I've described this as the predatory policies, just like the failures of the predatory land management policies that help stoke bigger fires and more.
Last week, the Department of Interior, one of their undersecretaries, reached out to me and gave me the, quote, heads up around what was going to come out for Fish Wildlife Services and the Biden administration regarding grizzly bears. And my jaw dropped when they unpacked what their decision, the recommendation was going to be. They've rejected Montana's and Wyoming's request to delist. The science, the numbers are overwhelming in terms of why we should delist the grizzly bear, return the management species back to the state of Montana. In the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, the target minimum is 500 bears. The current best science that both liberals and conservatives would agree on is there's 1,030 bears, twice the target minimum. Up in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem, the target minimum is 800. We have 1,163 bears. This should be a black and white, delist the bear, return to the people of Montana, and yet they gave us this nonsensical recommendation that is far short from delisting. Here's the good news. In 6 days, there's a new sheriff in town. It will be President Trump. We'll have Governor Doug Burgum, will be the Secretary of Interior. It was the first issue I brought up with Doug when he came to see me about his nomination. And we're going to be working hard here with the Trump administration to get the bear delisted. And by the way, another important role of the United States Senate is to get better judges on these circuit courts, like the Ninth Circuit Court. It's really a 1-2 punch. It's the right policy, and it's the right judicial system, and that's another really important part of having President Trump and a Republican majority in the Senate is support him in his effort to continue to reform the judiciary across this country.
And by the way, Senator, you deserve huge credit. Tester and the Democrats in their final few months in office wanted to pack the federal court here in Montana with another liberal judge. You blocked that, and you deserve a lot of credit for that because these federal judges have caused so much damage here in Montana.
It's one of the great problems we have remaining in Montana in terms of government. You know, our state judiciary is in great need of reform. It's wonderful to see, you know, Corey Swanson win that race in Montana, but then our federal judiciary is also in need of great reforms and better judges. And yeah, I held my ground on that open at Dana Christensen's seat. I held my ground. I said, we'll wait till after the election. I got called a lot of names, Aaron, by the media and by others, a lot of letters to the editor, but it didn't, for one second, change my opinion. I'm going to hold my ground and wait for the election now that President Trump has been elected, and I have Tim Sheehy. That's really important because the reason
Senator, I know you got to run, and we got to hit the Fox News update here. I'll see you in a week. Thank you. A couple more highlights of Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State address here. I've been scrolling through the transcript so I can get to the exact time hack. But I got to get more coffee during the next break, so I may not have those ready for you yet, but that's all right. We got 2.5 hours to go as we rock and roll through the show here on this Tuesday morning. We were talking about, you know, with Senator Steve Daines there about this, what I describe as this violence of action, which is a good thing when you're fighting a war. You want the violence of action. You want to just overrun the enemy before they even know what hit them yet. And just speed and movement and precision that you give, you know, just hammer them before they have time to, you know, basically reorganize and then come at you. But it's more than that. Look at the massive threats facing our country right now because of the Biden tester regime. President Trump needs a team in place on day one to start securing this country, given all the illegal aliens and the terrorists that have crossed our southern border and so much more. We've also got to fix our Department of Defense and boost our recruitment numbers and boost the retention numbers. And I think we're already seeing that to a certain extent because of the fact that President Trump was elected and there's hope that this woke BS and failed foreign policy nonsense will now go away. But there's also hope that a fellow veteran like Pete Hegseth will come in and be a major boost for the Department of Defense as well. Senator Tim Sheehy, we played some audio yesterday of him on CNN talking wildfires. Here he is talking about Pete Hegseth and his confirmation hearing that starts today as well.
Senator, thanks so much for coming in. Quick question before I let you go, though. Tomorrow, the confirmation hearing for Pete Hegseth. begins. He's been nominated to be the next defense secretary. As I mentioned, you're a former Navy SEAL. Will you support his nomination?
We're planning to support him. I've had some great meetings and discussions with him. And listen, this is what these hearings are for. Bring these nominees in and ask the tough questions. I think he's going to do great. You know, he's addressed a lot of the concerns about his background. We'll see what he has to say tomorrow. But the reality is, having a combat veteran of the modern global war on terror generation is very important for me. My wife is a Marine veteran of Afghanistan. All my friends are combat veterans of this war. So it's very important for us to see a member of our generation have a shot at running one of the most important agencies in the American government, and an agency that needs reforms.
Do you think he's qualified?
I think he is. Harvard, Princeton, Army officer, combat veteran.
All right, Senator, thanks so much for coming in.
Was that Wolf Blitzer? I didn't even know Wolf Blitzer was still around. He's still on CNN, huh? Man, all the way since the night, since I was a kid, Wolf Blitzer is still there. Still there. Tim and Savage sent us a great message. I'm looking forward to your interview with Chuck Schumer while you are in D.C. Yeah, I was telling my cousin, I said, we should go get a six-pack of beer and, you know, some, you know, dress like we're at a football tailgate and go sit in front of Chuck Schumer's office next week. Hey, Chuck, hey, remember us? It's your buddies from Montana. Hey, Chuck.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I should probably check. I'm with Caden, our producer, just to make sure. I'm sure it's good to go. It's only a 25-second soundbite. Is that clip from Charlemagne? There's no bad words in there that we can't use on the radio, are there? I'm assuming it should be good to go, but I just want to check. Because anyway... Oh, he's going to double check. Thanks, Caden. Yeah, I should have double checked that during the break myself, but I had to go refill up my coffee cup. So there was a lot of things I wanted to try to do there during the break, but coffee first, and then we'll figure out. By the way, speaking of coffee, this is so cool. So cool. Here we go. See, tangent. Squirrel, speaking of coffee, so you guys just heard me mention we're going to be, we've got a crazy week ahead, a crazy week and a half. The crazy starts in about 20 minutes when John Jackson, the Joker from X, walks into the studio. That's when the crazy really gets started. But no, it's crazy schedule. So Thursday, I got to drive to Helena, which of course means it's going to snow on Thursday and Friday because I got to drive to Helena. So of course it's going to snow then. Live show from the Capitol in Helena Friday morning. We're going to be there as a preview for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association's co-op day at the Capitol. They're doing co-op day at the Capitol on Monday. We're going to do a show previewing and promoting that event this Friday from the Capitol. Our friends from Mecca, and we'll be there, and then we'll have open mics, etc. And then Monday, I'm in D.C. on Capitol Hill for President Trump's inauguration. Tuesday, I'll be doing the show from Capitol Hill. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we will be doing live coverage from the SHOT Show down in Las Vegas. The Joker will be there sidekicking with me once again, which is such a great addition for that coverage because, man, I'm there at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, 6 o'clock in the morning Montana time is 5 o'clock in the morning Vegas time. So when I kick off the show, I'm like the only guy there. It's me and the security guards guarding all the guns and the cool gear at the SHOT Show. And then it's just me. The lights aren't even on at the Venetian Convention Center yet. And I'm there, you know, yapping on the radio. And it's fun and I can do it on my own. I've done it on my own. But it's like, man, but to have the Joker there to BS around with in the early morning hours is just hysterical. We have a great time. And then as the show starts to wake up, we get a bunch of great guests that join us as well. But heck, it's fun just sitting there BSing with the Joker, even if nobody else drops by to see us. So I mentioned coffee. Have you guys tried the 82 Coffee Company coffee yet? You've probably heard me talk about them before. I first got a chance to try their coffee. Hadn't even heard of them before. I'm at Warrior Taste Fest in Bozeman, you know, which is that great event benefiting warriors in quiet waters.
And at Warrior Taste Fest, they've got breweries, they've got distilleries, they've got restaurants, they've got the pie lady from Three Fork with all her great, you know, pies that she bakes and everything. They've got everything, you know, food and beverage on sample and on display, right? And so anyway, they also had some coffee there, you know, for the designated drivers in the house. And I was the MC one year, and so I was like, oh, man, hey, coffee? All right, sweet. Here, and I tried really good coffee and a really cool story behind it as well. I don't know about you, Ed. I don't know. But I like not just a good beverage, but I love it if the good beverage has a good story behind it as well. You know, kind of like the Devil's Brigade whiskey that Willie Blazer produces at Willie's Distillery. Good stuff, really good stuff, but it's also got a great story behind it, and then a portion of the proceeds go to help out the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association. I'm an associate life member of that organization, so it goes to a good cause. It tells, you know, the incredible history of the first Special Service Force in Montana, and it's good stuff, right? So it's good beverage with a good story behind it. Same thing with the 82 Coffee Company out of Dillon, Montana. Chris Lagunas. Anyway, our coverage of the SHOT Show this year, one of our big sponsors is the 82 Coffee Company out of Dillon, Montana, that's helping to make this SHOT Show coverage happen. So if you haven't tried out their product, give them a try. I've got one of their 82 Coffee Company French press thermoses here in the studio. And this thing is so heavy-duty, hardcore, you could throw it in the back of your rucksack while you're elk hunting and French press your own coffee and then carry that thermos around with you while you're out there hiking the hills. It's a cool deal. But they got their start on Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. A bunch of soldiers started roasting their own coffee, making their own coffee. It was on the 82 compound is what they called it. On Bagram. And so then, of course, when we withdrew all the troops from Afghanistan, they said, hey, let's keep this. We got a great thing going here with this coffee shop. Let's keep it going. And so Chris Lagunas brought it back to Dillon, Montana. And that's the 82 Coffee Company for you. I like the dark roast that they produce. So really good stuff. All right. Anyway, that was the tangent for you. All because I said I had to refill my cup of coffee. Coffee first, and then we'll get to everything else after that. That's how I roll anyway. Let's see. Tim Sheehy talked about his support for Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. Let's see. Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing starts today. May have already started D.C. time. I don't know. We'll hear in the Fox News updates here probably at the top of the hour. But Jason Miller is a prominent advisor to President Donald J. Trump. Here's what he had to say about Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing as well.
Pete's going to be completely honest. He'll be upfront, and in his one-on-one meetings that he has had, he's really dazzled, I would say, most of the senators that he's met with, his grasp of the issues, his knowledge of the Department of Defense, his readiness to step in and lead. There's a reason, Brian, where right now, as of this moment, we have dozens of veterans, Gold Star family members, supporters of Pete's, who are camped outside of the Dirksen Senate office building, ready to support him in that right. committee meeting today. Additionally, we have dozens of veterans will be marching up from the Vietnam Memorial to support Pete as well. That's because people believe in Pete Hegseth. They believe in President Trump. Let's get the woke out of the military and get back to the warrior spirit.
Yeah, that's right. Well said. Yeah, there's hundreds of veterans who are headed to Capitol Hill to support Pete Hegseth. A number of them are Navy SEALs, of course, as well. And the reason why is because not just is he a fellow Iraq and Afghanistan veteran like so many of them, but you know, Pete Hegseth, through his role as an anchor on Fox and Friends on the weekend, he's been a big advocate of a big fundraiser that these Navy SEALs do where they actually swim. What is it, the Hudson River? Is that the big nasty river there here in New York City that they actually, it's like, oh, you're jumping in that water? You're jumping in that water? Oh, man. But they do it. They do it because it's for a good cause and because they're warriors. And Pete Hegseth jumps in the river and swims with these Navy SEALs. And I've gotten a chance to swim with some Navy SEALs over the years. And they're known for swimming.
The Army guys, not so much known for swimming, but man, we'd jump into some nasty water too. But you know, it was for PT, it was for physical training. It was a not so friendly game of water polo. So that was incredible. That was fun. But yeah, anyway, lots of support amongst the post 9/11 veterans in particular for somebody like Pete Hegseth, who was right in the middle of the fight. Not one of these woke generals or admirals who got to sharpshoot everybody from afar, who spent their time sucking up to the D.C. establishment politicians while they threw the troops under the bus. No, Pete Hegseth was there in the middle of the fight. He saw it with his own eyes. And then when he got home from that fight, he immediately got into the fight for better national security and defense policy. And he fought for his fellow veterans for not just freedom abroad, but for freedom at home as well. Is he qualified? Oh, give me a freaking break. Oh, but Darth Vader guy with the freaking face shield and the stupid COVID mask that doesn't even work, who was a symbol of American weakness on the global stage. Oh, no, that guy was qualified. And some of these clowns that voted for Alejandro Mayorkas to allow this invasion of America to continue. You mean to tell me some of you clowns who voted for Alejandro Mayorkas have the audacity to question whether Pete Hegseth is qualified or not? Give me a break. Every single one of you should be thrown out on your you-know-what. Speaking of wokeness and Navy SEALs, he's a congressman out of Wisconsin now. And man, he went after Derek Van Orden, DVO. We got to see him in Whitefish and Gallatin Gateway. He did a tour across western Montana. I got to tag along with. Listen to what he said about Biden's woke military.
It's the weak strategic leadership projected by the 25-year-old staffers that have been running the White House for 4 years. I stand corrected. Lloyd Austin, travesty. Former chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, forget about it. Should be recalled on active duty and court-martialed for what they did in Afghanistan.
Fox News commentary.
There's incompetence, and then there's Governor Newsom and Mayor Karen Bass. A whole new level unlocked. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Needless to say, Southern California was not prepared or equipped to handle these wildfires. That in and of itself is unacceptable given wildfires are nothing new in that state. But leadership has bent over backwards to blame everything and everyone except themselves. Whether you believe in climate change or not, it's pretty hard to shirk responsibility when the mayor was in Ghana, dams were offline, hydrants had no water, and your fire departments are understaffed. Mother Earth didn't cause that. Poor leadership did. And to add insult to injury, in the midst of this disaster, California Governor Newsom had the audacity to sit down for a Pod Save America interview over the weekend. We know Gavin loves his camera time, but I'm stunned even he wouldn't have the wherewithal to predict how badly that would go over. If Gavin Newsom had any presidential hopes for 2028, well, he can kiss them goodbye. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Join Fox's support of families impacted by the California wildfires. Your donation enables the Red Cross to respond to and help people recover from this disaster. Visit go.fox/Red Cross to support these efforts.
Wow, even CNN had this headline. Montana elected a firefighter to the Senate. He's already pushing for solutions. Full video, MontanaTalks.com. Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event.
Getting and money your home deserves.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, so much to talk about when John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us in studio here shortly. I might mic him up early here, but I want to save a lot of the fire. I want to save a lot of the heat for the next 2 hours of the show. Hey, actually, he's here right now. John, do you want to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour today, too? He's good for 2 hours. There we go. All right. Yeah, we'll take your phone calls and more as the Joker joins us for the next 2 hours of the program. Let me see what I want to sneak in here before we wrap up this 7 o'clock hour of the show. Oh, yeah, the Charlemagne audio, Gutfeld, so many. Landman. Any of you watch the show Landman? It's this new Taylor Sheridan TV series. I know John's been watching Landman. He sent me some audio, and I saw it myself. So we'll talk about that much more. Let me see here. All right, let's see. I think this is something we've been talking about. President Trump's nominees. We had Senator Steve Daines join us earlier in the hour. We had audio of Senator Sheehy on CNN. Here is Tommy Tuberville, the former Auburn football coach, Alabama senator. He and I think some other folks were on Fox News talking about their support for Pete Hegseth. I didn't get a chance to pre-screen this audio, but I know Tommy Tuberville has had some good remarks based off of what I've seen on X.
Here's some of the bravest patriots and warriors on the face of the earth, and it shows what support is about. When you're talking about somebody that's going to be in charge of the Department of Defense. Now, I will tell you this. I'm a football coach. I'm not a politician. I wasn't in the military. I was a military brat. My dad died 45 years ago on active duty. He landed at Normandy at age 17, drove a tank across Europe, was awarded 5 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart. We're having a tough time getting 17 and 18-year-olds out of bed. Much less fight a war. And that's what we're here today for. You know, it's not about the huge problems that we're having in this country, such as inflation, such as crime, bad education, and borders. Those are huge problems. But folks, you can't fix anything unless you have a strong military to protect the people of this country. You can't do that. That's where it has to start. You have to have a team. And right now, this military is not a team. Now, we have some great people in the military. That's some great people. But we're not a team. We're not fighting together. I coached teams before. I could tell before the season started that we weren't close. We didn't work together. We didn't earn it together. But now we need to pull this military together because we have adversaries all over the world that want what we have, the United States of America, the greatest country on the face of the earth. They want what we have, and it's time to put our foot down because the last 4 years has been an absolute disaster for our military. And again, we have a lot of good people, a lot of good men and women that believe in the United States of America, but we got to go forward, and we have to have a leader. It all starts with one person. We don't need a general from the Pentagon. We've tried that. We need a drill sergeant, somebody that's been in 2 wars, somebody that understands camaraderie and team and work ethic and time restraint and respect, personal respect, believing in yourself first.
All right, and by the way, that man, as he eventually gets to it, is Pete Hegseth, fellow Iraq and Afghanistan veteran. All right, great remarks there from the coach. A couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Morgan in Helena raised a good question. We were talking with Senator Steve Daines about grizzly bears. Why not repeal the Endangered Species Act? That's the only way to return the issue to Montana once and for all. This cannot just be fixed. We need to repeal the Endangered Species Act. Morgan, thanks for that message. Bob in Columbus, you are right. The village people are going to be at the inauguration. They're going to be performing the YMCA song. Is that one of the inaugural balls, I think? I used to hate that song. Every dance, every wedding. Oh, great. Here we go. I love it now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one. At least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this sure looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Burton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.